Matthew's chapter 26, verse 59 through 64. I wish I could see the Lord. Again, that's Matthew's chapter 26, verses 59 through 64. Now the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said to him, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Brother David, for reading the word of God this morning. You know, no one said anything about the weather, so I'm not going to say much, but we're glad we're here inside, aren't we? And praise God that we can worship when it's cold, and we can worship when it's hot, and we can bring glory to God whatever the circumstances. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord and let's pray and ask his help as we look at his truth this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for the opportunity just to focus our attention upon your blessed word. Thank you for the great privilege of opening your word right now. And Father, whether it be through scripture reading, whether it be through music, whether it be the proclamation of your word, God, we're here to hear it. And help us now to hear. May our hearts be open. May our minds be clear. God, may there be a desire within us to hear and be changed by truth this morning. We give you honor and glory and praise. In the name of Jesus, amen. I'm going to do something really strange right now. I want you just to relax for a moment, and I have to go get a drink or I'm going to lose my... We're in Matthew 26. It's very easy to see that we're reading from Matthew's account of the trial of Jesus. And these are the events taking place in the night and the early morning hours before Jesus is put to death. And it's these events, and especially the words of Jesus, that will help us today. And folks, they will help us. And they'll help us in this world, in this nation, in this culture, to live for Jesus. And I say to you this morning that we desperately need help in living for Jesus. In our passage this morning, we see Jesus standing before the Jewish religious court, or the council, or the Sanhedrin. Thank you very much. I want you to notice verse 59. Matthew 26, verse 59 says that the chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. And so their verdict has already been decided and set. And all they need is some false testimony to back it up. Folks, in truth, they have plenty of evidence to prove that Jesus is exactly who He said He is. They have witnessed His miracles. They have heard His teaching. They have seen His life, but they reject it all. They deny it all. They resist it all. And they actually attribute His power and His miraculous works to Satan. But their minds are made up. And despite the evidence, they reject Jesus, the Messiah. And so when they hear the testimony of some false witnesses who come, they want Jesus to respond. That's what's happening in this passage. Look at verse 62. The high priest says, "Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?" And then notice the response. We see it in verses 63 and 64. "But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest answered and said to him, 'I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God.' And Jesus said to him, 'It is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven.'" The high priest of Jesus' own people demands that he declare himself under oath. He says, "I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." In other words, are you the Messiah? Are you the promised one? Are you the Son of God? And Jesus says, "It is as you said." Or, "You have said so." Now, what does Jesus mean by "you have said so"? Does it mean yes? Does it mean no? Does it mean something else? Does it mean something more? We get some help from this passage. Actually, verse 25. Look at Matthew 26, verse 25. Of the same chapter, because here we see that Jesus is with His disciples at the Last Supper. Notice, if you will, verse 21, because Jesus says there, "Assuredly I say to you, one of you will betray me." And then in verse 25, Judas says, "Rabbi, is it I?" And Jesus answers him, and He says, "You have said it." It's the very same word that Jesus used when He spoke to the high priest. "You have said it." And so it's obvious what it means when Jesus speaks to Judas. "Yes, Judas, you are the one, and you know that you're the one." And so Jesus knows that Judas is the one, and Judas knows that he is the one. And so this phrase, "you have said so," or "you have said it," is a way of saying yes, and folks, at the same time, it's a way of calling attention to what the other person knows deep down. It calls attention to what the other person really knows in their hearts. "You have said so. You have said it." And so it's like Jesus is saying, your words betray something deep within you that's being concealed, something that you're hiding, something that perhaps you've concealed even from yourself. Something within you knows the answer to your question. Deep inside you, you see that it's so and you fear that it's so, and you ask defensively and skeptically whether it is so. Your heart reveals you. And your words reveal your heart. Now, this mentality of the high priest is with us today because deep down we know so much truth, and yet we fear, and sometimes we deny. There may be people here this morning who sense and know in the depths of their souls that Jesus is the true Messiah, that Jesus is the Son of God, the God-man, but they will not admit it. They will not acknowledge it. They will not receive it. It's threatening to their self-rule. It's a threat to their self-determination. It's a threat, perhaps even to their way of life, and so they hold down the truth and even become blind to what they know. Now, how does Jesus respond to the high priest? How does Jesus respond to this blindness? He says in verse 64, "You have said so. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man." In other words, the time is coming, as he speaks to this high priest, that he says the time is coming when you will see. The time is coming, the day is coming, when the truth will come to light. But I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. In other words, there is a day coming when the doubters will see. And there is coming a day when those who deny Him will see. And there is coming a day when those who mock Him and reject Him and say no to Jesus will see. And folks, we live in a time when the doubters and the mockers and the rejectors seem to have their way. And they will not admit to the truth of Jesus, and they have become blind to the truth of Jesus, and they live their lives like Jesus does not exist, and they even hinder and hurt and ridicule and do harm to those who trust in Jesus. Jesus and His followers are a threat to their lives of self-rule and self-determination. In the words of Jesus throughout the Gospels, they have exalted themselves. But notice now the words of Jesus in verse 64. Because there are four great reversals that will come. Four great reversals that will come. And listen carefully this morning, because your future hangs on these things. More than your family, more than your finances, more than your health, more than your job, more than a presidential election or national security, your future hangs on these words by Jesus. The truth and the triumph of Jesus Christ are the most important issues in this world. And in this text, in this statement that Jesus makes to the high priest, there are four great reversals. And the high priest will see them, and we will see them. The high priest and the elders and the council exalted themselves, and Jesus has been humbled before them. But folks, a great reversal will take place, and they will be humbled, and He will be exalted. And this is where we as followers of Jesus Christ must be today. It's our time of humbling. It's our time of submitting. It's our time of being mocked and ridiculed and scorned and rejected. Now I want you to notice what Jesus says. First of all, Jesus says to the high priest, "You will see the Son of Man." Now what does that mean? You will see the Son of Man. Hold your places in Matthew 26 and turn with me to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. And look with me at verses 13 and 14. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. The prophet Daniel here is given a vision. And notice what he writes, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He says, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and then to him, to the Son of Man, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Folks, this is the meaning of the term Son of Man. The Son of Man is the Messiah. The Son of Man is a human king, a ruler. The Son of Man is God. The Son of Man is the God-man. The Messiah, or the ruler, as Daniel states here, was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. Daniel says that all peoples and nations and languages shall serve him, and his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and it shall not pass away, and it shall not be destroyed like all other earthly kingdoms. And so it's like Jesus, as he's standing here before this high priest, it's like Jesus says to him, you deny that I am the Christ. But the truth is, I am vastly more than the Christ that you know of. And it may appear now that I have no kingdom and no glory and no dominion while I suffer before you. But truly I say to you, high priest, you will see. You will see. And you will be humbled, and I will be exalted. And you will see the Son of Man. That's the first great reversal. Notice second, that Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man seated. Seated. It's like Jesus says to the high priest, in your blindness, you say that I am on trial here. You say that you are sitting to judge me, and I am standing before you as the defendant. But I say to you, high priest, you will see the Son of Man seated. Now, in ancient days, the king always sat in his royal court. He sat on his throne while servants stood around him and served him. And oftentimes, in the case of a trial, the defendant in that trial would stand before the king. And this was the common practice. The king or the judge would sit and the accused would stand. And folks, in the days of his suffering, Jesus was made to stand. He was the accused. He was charged. He was found guilty. He was sentenced to death, though he was sinless and without guilt. But there is coming another great reversal. Jesus tells the high priest here that the Son of Man will be seated. He will not be the defendant on that day. He will not be the accused on that day, but he will be the judge on that day. In Matthew 25, verse 31, Jesus says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and before Him will be gathered all the nations. And it's like Jesus says to the high priest, I stand before you today on trial, but in that day I will sit as the judge of all the earth. And you will see. You will see. And you will be humbled, and I will be exalted. And you will see the Son of Man seated. That's the second great reversal. There's a third. Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power. And so in blindness, the high priest proclaimed Jesus to be a blasphemer. The high priest proclaimed Jesus to be guilty of treason. The high priest proclaimed that God is dishonored by the claim of Jesus. The high priest proclaimed that Jesus is worthy of death. The high priest exalts himself as the power over Jesus. But the reversal will come. the reversal will come. Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power. In other words, it's like Jesus says, you say that I am under God's judgment, and you say that God is angry with me, but the day is coming when I will not only sit in His presence, but in the place of highest honor, I will sit. At the very right hand of the Almighty, I will sit. And the right hand is the place of power and authority and honor and respect. And I will sit at the right hand of the power. And you will see, and you will be humbled, and I will be exalted, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power. And that's the third great reversal. There's a fourth. Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. And so the high priest then proclaims that Jesus is to be killed, and the rulers and the elders and the council sentence Jesus to death. They choose to do away with Him and make an end of Him, but it's like Jesus says to them, things are not what they seem. And you will not make an end of me. And you will see the Son of Man alive and coming on the clouds of heaven. And folks, even this phrase, coming on the clouds of heaven, is an Old Testament phrase that refers to God, that refers to Messiah. You see, the high priest and the religious leaders of Israel cannot do away with Jesus because He is perfect man and holy God. He is the God-man. He is the Messiah. He is the one appointed by God Almighty to make all things right in the universe. And it's like Jesus says to them, you know my words and you know my works. And you know what I meant when I said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will build it again. And I will not only rise from the dead, but I will reign in heaven at the right hand of God. And I will not only reign in heaven, but I will come again with the clouds, with power and great glory. And I will send out my angels with a loud trumpet call. And they will gather all of my people from the corners of the earth. And you will see this. And you will be humbled, and I will be exalted. And you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. And that's the fourth great reversal. And we step back this morning, even as we look at this very short passage, this event in the life of Jesus. And we ask ourselves, what does this mean to me? What does all this mean to us today? Well, we look around in our world today, and it looks like evil is winning. It looks like sin and wickedness and Satan and evil men are victorious and exalted. It looks like the name of Christ and the people of Christ and the cause of Christ and the person of Christ are humbled and brought low. But oh, brothers and sisters, people of God this morning, followers of Jesus Christ here today, our hope must not be in presidents or prime ministers or government action. Our hope today must not be in politicians or economic policy or man's laws or treaties with other nations. Our hope must not be in exalting ourselves or trusting in ourselves or depending in ourselves, because the reversal is coming. The reversal is coming. And those who were exalted will be humbled. And those who are humbled will be exalted. And the world will see, and wicked men will see, and the powers of darkness will see, And they will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And the one who stood before the high priest and council, and the one who was called a traitor and a blasphemer, and the one who was called guilty and put to death with criminals like a slave, that one, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. The humble one will be the exalted one. Amen. And folks, that's the road he walked. And he says to all who trust in him, follow me and walk with me and humble yourself now and be his servants now and take up your cross now and continue in me and abide in me and remain in me, for the great reversal is coming. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. And hereafter, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Let's bow our heads. Father, we need clear reminders of who Jesus is. And as the song stated, we can rejoice the Lord is King. We can rejoice that that time of humbling for our Savior is over. But we are living now in that time. Help us as followers. Help us as your people. Help us as those who've put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ to walk this road and walk it in confidence and reliance in you, because Jesus walked it before us. And Father, whatever this week or this month or this year would hold, help us to keep our attention on Jesus, and help us to look to Jesus and live for Jesus. And we thank you for your word that would edify us and build us up and encourage us, not in ourselves, but in our blessed, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray, we ask these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.